Webcasting to the world, the good news. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, April 16th, 2008. The only 14th birthday of Isaac Klein, 2008, ever. Welcome in on this Wednesday night edition of the Gospel Revolution webcast. Yes, it's my son, my fourth oldest, my fourth youngest son, Isaac's 14th birthday. So everybody wish happy birthday greetings to Isaac Joel Klein. And Michael already spoke with him in person today. A highlight for Isaac's birthday, it was, Michael. And how are you doing this evening from Houston?
I'm doing great. It's been a good day in Houston. We have had just the most beautiful weather here in the last week. It's just been crisp and warm and, no humidity and just absolutely perfect place to live, at least for the last week anyway.
Yes, well, for the next 10 days or 2 weeks thereabouts, you'll be living in the great nation of Canada.
I will be, and I cannot tell you how excited I am about that. It is going to be a pretty much a 10-day extravaganza beginning in Calgary and moving on from there. We'll give you more details later, then going on to Kelowna, British Columbia, and then over to Chemainus over on Vancouver Island. And looking very much forward to that, and also the company of Ken Vandeveer, who is a wonderful gentleman, a convert, if you will, from the Worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong's The World Tomorrow. And he heard the message of the gospel through my tapes back several years ago, and what a change in that entire family. Sisters and in-laws and cousins, and it's just been an amazing, amazing event that has transformed the lives of all of these people. Ken's wife, Joanne, a very wonderful human being. Do they ever love the gospel?
Do they?
They do.
That's awesome. Well,
maybe they should call in and let us know.
Well, you're going to be going to Canada, so I just Googled Calgary for the weather forecast.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Michael, and I know you're traveling tomorrow, low of 27, a high of 57.
Perfect
on
weather.
On Friday, 34 degrees for a high, 25 on Saturday. And this is Fahrenheit, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. 24 on Sunday. On Tuesday, you'll be getting up into the 40s. So you better bring your long johns there, my friend.
I don't have to bring anything. Once I check in the hotel, I don't leave.
Well, I just got back from the frozen tundra of northern Wisconsin and just getting over the head cold that was coming on the last webcast as we greeted you from northern Wisconsin and Houston. We're back in Tampa, happy to be back. And wanting to hear from you tonight on the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline. Always anxious to see who will be first to call up and what the first topic will be that you want to address at 1-800-436-3260. That's 1-800-436-3260. And it is good in Canada and wherever you're listening from. If you're listening live on Wednesday night, we know a lot of folks do listen on the archive. But if you're live, we'd love to hear from you. It really adds a lot to the program. When we hear from our friends across the globe, doesn't it, Michael?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and especially the folks from Canada, if there's those of you that are listening in, if you could brave a call, give us a call and let us know what you're thinking about the upcoming meetings. And I know we have a lot of people in Canada that listen that never call in, that's for sure. But because I've talked to them, and Mike, we love the broadcast, and it's like, what do you mean? And they said, well, we always listen.
Well, as an old radio guy that I am, the statistic is that one person will call for every 100,000 listeners.
Yeah.
So who will be that one in 100,000 tonight? Because we know we have people listening literally all over the planet, and we actually do have a call. Sean O'Halloran, our engineer and producer and call screener extraordinaire, is taking that call. But we have a third line available since I am in studio tonight. So get on the phone early and often, 1-800-436-3260. So, Michael, you are going to Canada, and the Pope is in the United States. I thought
That's why I'm going to Canada.
I thought it's like you're going like it was the Vietnam War. You're headed north of the border.
Well, you know, the Pope has the Pope Mobile, and after I get up there, once I leave Calgary, I'm going to Avis, rent a car, and renting a Michael Mobile, and we're going to be motoring across Canada to our next two stops, Mr. Ken Vandeveer and myself. So we'll be traveling in style just like the Pope is this week.
It's awesome, and it's such an interesting juxtaposition, Catholicism and the gospel, and the Pope coming, and the adoring throng here, this 81-year-old man who, of course, has apologized now for the pedophile scandal in the Catholic Church, but has got these guys cloistered away, is not having these men come to justice. We're the ones that say that those pedophiles and the Pope and even us are free of sin and are righteous in the sight of God. And I think that there's something about the security in knowing that you're right with God, that when you do screw up, that you can face the music.
Yes. Yeah, and not only can, but it is, there is a power behind the gospel called the power of God, as Paul's definition of it is. He said that the gospel is the power of God. He didn't say it's a form of God's power or a way to access God's power. He didn't even say that it's a way to release God's power. That is just such a profound comment, that the gospel is the power of God. You know, people around the world are looking for the power of God, but we try to learn things that will give us a source to God's power, but Paul said it's the power of God, and I believe that it not only gives us the ability to face up to what we do, but it really does empower us in this life, in every level. I think that we're only beginning to learn the strength that comes from the reverse motion. The motion that the work of the cross did was to put all things that pertain to life and godliness, everything, all of the gifts of the Spirit, all of the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. The list just goes on and on. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So we have all of those things in us also. But the reverse process that brings that out of us, which is what I'm really going to be teaching on up in Canada during my 10 days there, we're just beginning to learn the freedom that releases those things that are within us to just get us through daily life.
Right,
you know?
And I was going to say, I think that an argument could be made that when the gospel is lacking, and the sharing and the preaching and the meditation of the gospel is absent, that you're more likely to see aberrant behavior like pedophilia, as we have witnessed in the Catholic Church. And obviously Catholicism is not anything that has got an ism, and I don't care if it's Protestantism or Judaism or Islamism. Isms cause schisms, and we see this all the time, Michael. And I think this ties nicely and dovetails nicely into our first caller. We've got Bob on the line from Portland, Oregon. Bob, you're online with Michael Williams. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
You had a specific question pertaining to the wrath of God?
Quickly before I go, I just wanted to thank Mike for his teaching on Galatians. I think it's revolutionary, personally.
Awesome. Thank you, Bob.
And but twice, or actually three times in the last week, I've heard the, quote, traditional gospel presented, and then 30 seconds later talk about God's wrath. And I find my feeling is that maybe God hasn't changed, but his relationship with his people have. But I'm wondering what your thoughts on how we explain God's wrath in the light of God's love.
Yeah, and I think, Michael, you know, this is a beautiful dovetail, as I said, because there is a level of freedom, and we're just starting to experience that freedom vis-a-vis things like the concept of the wrath of God.
Yes, absolutely. No, Bob, we really appreciate you calling in with that question. The very crux of everything that I teach is around this entire issue of wrath, anger, judgment, chastening, scourging from the Lord. And the issue of the cross is that judgment and chastisement, all of those things were completely fulfilled at the cross. You know, a lot of times we use the term done away with, and in fact, that's the term that Paul used, but the actuality of it is that there's a fulfillment of everything at the cross, and the fulfillment of all wrath, all anger, the fulfillment of the promises of God, the fulfillment of all things, because it was in Christ that all things were fulfilled. All scripture, all prophecy, all prophecies about redemption, reconciliation, all prophecies about anger and wrath and judgment, all prophecies about Jerusalem, all prophecies about Israel, all prophecies about the planet.
All prophecies.
let's call it all prophecy was fulfilled. And you know, it's strange that you have to go through that list though, Glenn, because when you say all prophecy, people always have in reservation in the back of their head, yes, but I know something about Jerusalem, or I've been hearing about what Jack Van Impe said, and what our different friends on Christian television are got their big charts up on the, and saying, you know, and now Israel is going to do this, and Gog and Magog, and this is coming from the north and down to the south, and these guys have been wrong for all the years that I've been alive. Not one single time have they ever been right, and so you really do have to specify for people that all scripture pertaining to everything, because the issue, the focal point of prophecy is not about a city. It did include the players of a city. God chose Israel to be players on the stage, but the scriptures are not about Israel. They are not about Jerusalem. They're not about a place. They are about Jesus and the fact that Jesus would fulfill all required judgment that the law demanded for sin upon the human race, upon planet Earth, that upon all cities there was announcements of judgments for nations and cities and individuals. But you see, Jesus became the sacrifice to save us from the wrath of God.
Right. Either he was or he wasn't.
Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah.
And if he was not that, he was nothing. Because that is the thing that has produced the lordship of Jesus over all. Jesus is Lord over all because he took the judgment of all upon himself at the cross. And
noticed in John 12, probably for the first time, as Jesus said, now is the time for the judgment of the world.
Yes.
And you want to say, I'll be lifted up. I never caught that before, but he was saying back, it was then. I mean, he said it in his own words, plain as day. It wasn't in a parable. It wasn't anywhere else.
How long have you been hearing the gospel like this, Bob?
About probably less than 6 months. I'm an ex-pastor. In fact, I went to a small Bible school in Houston when I was a kid 30 years ago.
My goodness.
And,
welcome to the Gospel Revolution.
What I was going to say, Bob, is that you will be amazed, and we have been amazed, and we're well into our second decade of this, is how you will see things like you just talked about in John that are as clear as day once the paradigm is set.
Yeah.
And not that a person hasn't just received grace, but they're established in grace. It just flows so naturally. It flows actually supernaturally.
Right.
But
the thing I'm seeing is some people can even accept that we are saved by grace. Most have trouble seeing that we're sustained by grace.
Yes. Yes, that's beautiful. Michael, what about Bob's question about God not changing, but his relationship with his people have changed?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, the covenant did change. And the covenant is God's relationship with people. God established a covenant through the law, and obviously he is not relating to man through the law anymore. Well, I say obviously. I think it's quite obvious, but as Don knows, going through years of being a pastor in some group, that this is not general information in the Christian community.
Yeah,
even
hardly.
Though it is very general and basic information in the gospel and in the prophecies of the scriptures that this would be exactly the way that it would be, that we would find ourselves under a different covenant, different to this point, Don, and this is going to thrill you because of the fulfillment of Scripture, is that, see, there's a lot of people still looking for the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God's already here. It's in you. Jesus said it was the one thing that people would do was look for the kingdom of God, but it would never be seen with physical eyes. Doesn't mean it's not here because we don't see it. Yet all prophecy teachers are preaching about a time when you'll be able to see the kingdom of God and all the changes that will take place that will make the kingdom of God visible on earth. When Jesus said the kingdom of God will never be seen by the human eye. And the fact that the prophecies foretold of a time when there would be a new heaven and a new earth. And the qualification for a new heaven and a new earth is this, in which dwelleth righteousness. We may have a lot of things established in our head as to what qualifies or quantifies the new earth or a new heaven, but actually the very same verses that talk about the new heaven and the new earth says that it'll be one in which dwelleth righteousness. Now, we have righteousness dwelling on this earth in every human being through the cross of Jesus Christ. This has been the power of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, is the implementation of righteousness, and in fact, in Paul's terms, the imputation for it to be imputed unto man. That means to be credited to our account without our knowledge, without our will, without our agreement, or without our request even, that this has been credited to our account.
And the Bible also says that Jesus went to heaven and basically rescued heaven and established righteousness in a different way there too. So
absolutely.
Because
heaven had been polluted by the presence of Lucifer, and it says even says that he went and cleansed the instruments of worship in heaven. So
there it is. Once again, prophecy being fulfilled by Christ at the cross. Hey Bob, how did you find out about the Gospel Revolution?
I believe I linked up through Tentmaker. And I can't, to be honest, my gut had always told me I wasn't believing what I was preaching. And somewhere on the line, I almost want to call it a revelation, but I'm not sure if that's the right word. Maybe I just started seeing something in what Paul was writing that I never saw before.
Right.
And I started searching the web and eventually found Tentmaker, and then I found the link to you guys.
Great. Well, listen, you know, you're in the Pacific Northwest. You're not very far from British Columbia. And,
nope.
And that's where Michael's going to be pretty soon here.
Oh, really?
So if you go to the GospelRevolution.com website, this GospelRevolution.com, mm-hmm. all the meetings in Canada over the next 2 weeks are listed there. So.
Okay.
Who knows? Maybe you'd like to go north of the border, too.
Sure, yeah.
But feel free to call in any time, and we really appreciate it, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, okay, Bob.
We hope to hear from you again. Stay in touch.
Okay. Bye.
All right, there's Bob from Portland, Oregon. How about that? It's a beautiful thing.
It is.
Well, we have...
A brand new, just 6 months.
And he's getting it. I mean, you know, that's one of the most beautiful things that we've seen, Michael. Is things that took us literally years and years and years to see, mm-hmm. people are seeing within months.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's nice.
It really is. You know, the awesome thing about truth that I really believe is the listeners of truth learn more than their teacher, as it should always be.
And when the students are ready, the teacher shall come. And the students are ready. They're ready in Canada, and they're going to be ready in Houston at the Gospel Revolution Convention in November. We're going to be talking about that later, so please stay logged on, whether you're listening live or on the archive. If you're listening live, and it's Wednesday night, and it's about 9:20 Eastern Time in the United States, you can call. We've got a line open now, 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. How pleasant it was to hear from Bob in Portland right away. And now we want to welcome online from beautiful Waterloo, Iowa, Chris Ann. Chris, you're online.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness.
Michael Hi. And Glenn, how are you doing?
Hi, Chris Ann. Oh, my gosh, it is so good to hear from you.
Well, I've been listening to all the archives, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to give up American Idol to talk tonight to
Well,
you.
You're talking to another American Idol, Michael Williams.
Yes. That's right. It is so. We miss you so much out here, Michael.
Oh, we miss you guys. I have to tell him, Chris Ann, even though she told me to never mention it again, but I think people need to know that for every CD that everyone listens to around the entire planet, Chris Ann Panther is directly responsible for that. I was sitting in a meeting and was prompted to let the small group that I was speaking to know that we had to switch to CDs, and the minimal expense to be able to even think about it was $3,000, and Chris Ann came up to me immediately after that meeting and said, Mike, here's the $3,000, and we purchased the equipment. And thus, you get the beautiful CDs that you're getting now, and the DVDs.
And, Chris Ann, you know, you've laid up your treasures in heaven.
Well, and you're still righteous, Michael, even though you broke your promise.
Even though I broke my promise.
Now, Chris Ann, we have it recorded, we have it archived, you will never have to mention it again.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Well, I just wanted to let you know that I'm just Angie, and you know Gray and I are just really trying to scheme our way down to Houston in November. So.
Oh, you have to be here. You can't even think about not coming.
Definitely. You know, I heard Michael first time. It'll be 16 years ago, May 30th. In
Waterloo,
Iowa.
Oh, my! You must have been 13 years old then, right?
Yeah, right. But my son, Michael, was about 6 weeks old at that time.
Wow.
And I first heard the grace of God preached and taught, and it just pierced my heart. It was the most wonderful news I'd ever heard. And I've been in the church for many, many, many years, charismatic and full gospel, and it was just... It was the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me, and I'll never forget it. And it keeps growing, and just being with you and listening to your teachings over the years, and And the redemption of the world is just, and I have to agree with Bob that the teaching on Galatians is very, very wonderful. I do, now are you going to be talking in Canada on the faith of God at all?
Yes, we are. Yeah, in fact,
that didn't get recorded. Remember, we taped those sessions.
Yes. Well, we have one small series already entitled The Faith of God.
Hey, I'm going to have to track it down. Okay.
Yeah, we just sent out some new brochures. I don't know if you've got yours yet, but yes, and no. The teaching that we are going into now, Chrisanne, is I'm so excited about. I can't hardly wait to get somewhere and erupt.
Yeah, the understanding and the implication of God's faith in us obliterating our faith and our need for faith, Chrisanne, has literally been revolutionary, and it's been growing in us and growing in Michael. And like you said, he's ready to erupt. And we were talking one afternoon on the telephone about it, and he was so excited. He thought he was having a manic episode. He was so excited.
Well, I'm excited to be.
You know, isn't it? And for the folks that are listening that are just starting to understand the gospel and are just getting into it, like our friend Bob from Portland mentioned earlier, we're well into this. You said 16 years ago, Chrisanne?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And we're more excited about it now. It's more liberating. It's more wonderful. And as Bob mentioned, his understanding from the Book of John, we're seeing fresh things all the time. It's a remarkable book, the Bible, and it's a remarkable story about this man that we call Jesus, whose name wasn't even Jesus. And the implication of Michael of God's faith in us, as opposed to us having to have faith in him, is there's no other word for it than revolutionary.
Well, it really is, and that is the thing. I was speaking to one of my friends here in Houston. I said, you know, just think about it just a moment. I mean, we came to the point to understand that all things that God has, it just keeps ringing in my ears. There is nothing in heaven you need. There is nothing in heaven that you need. And because Jesus brought all of heaven in the form of the kingdom of God and placed it in us, so everything that I need is already in me. It's inside Chrisanne. It's inside Glenn. It's inside every person on this planet. And isn't it amazing that we really did finally get enough sense about us to realize that that could not have gotten into us by our works, obedience, or our faith, that it had to be put there literally by the works, the obedience, and the faith of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
But I asked him, I said, can you think of how foolish we've been to think that if our faith could not get it into us, that it would be our faith that would get it to be coming out of us?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as ridiculous to think even in those terms.
Well, that's exactly what Bob just got done saying. He said if God's grace could save us, it can sustain us.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, our brother Barack Obama got into some trouble last week by saying that during hard times that religious folks and rural folks cling to their faith and cling to God. And he may have been speaking some truth, but the fact of the matter is God's faith is the one that's clinging to us. We got no clinging to do. We're not Klingons. We're not Klingons. We're not aliens. I don't even know how to speak Klingon. I know how to speak in tongues, but I don't know how to speak Klingon.
That's great, Glenn.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's great, Glenn.
Good preaching, Glenn. So Chrisanne, you're going to be on your way to Houston. I think that this is a good opportunity about halfway through the webcast to talk a little bit about Houston. We've got our venue now, folks. It's going to be November 5th through the 9th in beautiful Houston, Texas, at the Marriott Houston North at Greenpoint. You're going to be able to make your reservations in the next day or so. Look for your emails. And all the information will be coming in your email. All the information will be coming in the snail mail. We'll be talking about it a lot on the webcast. So we've got just 30 rooms reserved at the Marriott Houston North at Greenpoint. And we're going to have a really excellent group rate. There's going to be a discount for early sign-up.
Excellent discount.
Yeah, so just stay logged on and stay tuned in for that. And, I mean, Chris, can you imagine all these people that at wherever they've come into the gospel, whether it be 16 years ago or 6 months ago or 2 months ago, whatever it is, are going to be gathering together from all over the planet. And what a love fest. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
Well, there's a lot of names that come up and different people that have taught on the CDs over the years. And it'll just be so much fun to put a face for the name, you know.
Exactly.
And fellowshipping.
And people have always asked us, where can we go? Where can we go? Well, you can go to Houston, folks, for a weekend.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Awesome. Well, thank you so much
Chris,
doing this, Glenn.
Stay in touch. And say hello to Angie and everybody there for us, too.
Okay, I will.
All right.
All right, have a great one. Bye-bye.
Here's Chris Ann from Waterloo, Iowa.
Yes.
Who's responsible for your CDs, we found
Which
out.
Which we can no longer talk about.
No, we can't talk about it. See, it just goes to show you that an imperfect vessel can preach perfection. All right.
Put me under a law, I'm going to break it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's good preaching, Roberts, right there. When you put people under a law, folks, they're going to break it. So, you know, and we need laws to function on the planet. You need laws in your family. You need laws in your business. You need laws in society. But if you have a law, know that people are going to break them. That's why the law was given. The law, the Bible says, was given to add power to the temptation. We're already tempted. You add a law to it, it increases the temptation, it increases the power of it. And thank God that we're under the understanding. And yes, Bob, a good word is revelation. It's been revealed to us that we are not any longer under the law of God because, Michael, the law has been finished. It has been done away with. It has been nailed to the cross. It is finished.
Yes. And Jesus made it very clear that not one jot or tittle would pass from the law until all things were fulfilled. So it's good stuff. I'm thrilled about the finished work of the cross. We have we've been working on this, scratching through this understanding for ever since 1980, about 1980 actually. And what a difference, what an amazing difference, what a road, what a journey. And to see people like Bob and Chris Ann, folks, I feel so many times like just the most fortunate human being on earth just to get to know the people that I do. I mean, this is my contact even with Glenn and
what do you mean even with Glenn?
I mean, geez.
What are you talking about? All right, 1-800-436-3260. Nice backhanded compliment there. 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran. Do you know, Sean, that the entire kingdom of God is inside of you tonight? He said I just found that out about 10 minutes ago. 1-800, it's good news. 1-800-436-3260. We're having fun with the phone calls tonight, so give us a call. 1-800-436-3260. The world and we are waiting to hear from you. This comes from our friend Christina right down there in your neck of the woods in Houston, Michael. She said, as you discussed at the top of the show with the child sex offenders in the church, she says, Michael, I'm wondering if we are already, quote, right with God. How is justice justified? I have had a hard time coming to terms with the fact that people who murder, rape, etc., countless times, how they are right with God if they continue to do these things. Is there any end to how many times they can commit these crimes against others and still be right with God? She says, have a great trip to Canada, Michael, and I do love you unconditionally. And she says, and then she puts LOL, laugh out loud.
Yes.
Is there any limit to God's love?
Well, as I think she was saying specifically about, you know, forgiveness, and Jesus said at least 70 times 7, and that's just toward one individual, pertaining one relationship. You know, that's a bunch. But you see, in God's economy, doesn't require 70 times 7. There's one forgiveness for sin, and that is the condition of sin, the unbelief. And the fact is that no matter what anybody does, there's no law to hold it against them in the eyes of God. So while the issue of justice in the earth, though, see, that's where, again, I think it's like what you said. This is where people hide these things. It is the church that offers sanctuary for many of these people who go outside the boundaries of even civilized conduct in the way that we deal with people. And they're hiding in church more than they're hiding any place, because you know, the church makes the mistake of equating God's forgiveness, even as limited as they believe in it, they equate God's forgiveness with justice and our legal system here, and that if you forgive somebody, then you ought to just forget, you know, justice as far as civilized people are concerned. And I don't believe that. I think I have become stronger about the fact that if somebody molests a child, they should go to jail. And people who, you know, believe me, nobody wants me to be in charge when it comes to anybody hurting children or women. I tell you, I don't know what it is. But there's just something about, and that's just for me personally. I hope it would be for everybody. But I think everybody ought to be just like me. But the fact of it is that, man, I don't turn a blind eye. I do not think that people should get off in the eyes of our justice system just because someone decides that, you know, that God has forgiven them,
or even
unconditional love,
or even in their interpersonal relationships with each other, forgetting about breaking the law.
Oh yeah.
When somebody wrongs you and does wrong by you, just because God has forgiven them and loves them, and because they are righteous in God's eyes, does not give them the right to continue to trample on your life. And you're right, Michael. I haven't just become stronger in my sense of the need for justice in our legal system, but I have become stronger in my sense of justice between interpersonal relationships.
Absolutely. Boundaries. Yeah.
And I become more secure because of my understanding of all of our standings in Christ. And I can go to somebody and confront them, knowing that I'm no better than they are in God's eyes, and that they are already right with God. I'm not trying to get them right with God. I'm trying to resolve the conflict. The gospel brings peace, folks. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier this afternoon, about how people are freaking out. We had Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in this country tonight debating, and they're basically saying the sky is falling. And Tim Robbins, the fine actor, addressed the National Association of Broadcasters in Las Vegas last weekend. And I highly recommend that you do a search for that speech on YouTube. It's about a 6-minute segment. And why? Because from the left side of the political spectrum, he thinks the sky is falling. And we were comparing and contrasting what we're living through right now, which obviously we have some challenging times. Welcome to breathing, folks. This is our lot in life. But we were comparing it to this country's situation in the 1960s, when the country seemed like it was, the country literally, Michael, was burning to the ground. Our leaders were being assassinated. Our president was resigning in disgrace.
We had a Vietnam War. We had a sexual revolution. I mean, if you were a Christian at that time, you must have for sure thought that the rapture was going to occur at any moment. But then again, if you were a Christian in the 1940s and saw a political leader and a man that said he was doing the work of the Lord named Adolf Hitler raise up and kill multiple tens of millions of people and specifically target his venom against Jewish people, the chosen people, you would have said, this is it. But no, here we are. We're here 60-plus years later after Hitler. We're here 40-plus years after the sexual revolution and the Vietnam War. And this thing's going to go on and on. But you know what? More peace is coming to the earth, more unity. We're on the verge of nominating either a woman or a black man for president of the United States in the Democrat Party against an elderly man in the Republican Party. And they're talking about having a more civil debate. They're talking about how what a vicious campaign it is between Clinton and Obama. This is nothing. This is romper room stuff compared to what was going on 50 years ago, 100 years ago in this country. The only difference is that we have instant communication. We now know exactly what they're saying. We now know what everybody's saying about what they're saying. But you if you have any kind of historical perspective at all, folks, you understand that just the fact that women are considered equals in civilized society is a huge leap forward. And Michael, in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, this is evidence of the gospel of peace and grace at work.
Well, I could not agree more, and I do believe we're getting better at this, and we're getting better at this around the planet. And I think that it really is the power of the gospel at work in its revelation in just a handful of hearts around the world, if you will. But I just know we're changing the world. I just know it. I just know that the gospel is the power of God, and by virtue of the fact that we are unmasking, if you will, the gospel out from under the guise of evangelical Christianity, I just think it's having a powerful impact.
And as we said earlier, that the kingdom of God is in every human being.
Absolutely.
And you'll notice that things are progressing at a more rapid rate as less and less of people affiliate with the church system. Those people that they don't know the gospel, they don't even believe in Jesus, but the gospel is at work in their heart even if they don't know it, or especially if they don't know it.
You know, I think, Glenn, also is that the only thing that it takes to have the kingdom of God to begin to play its role in a person's life, you don't have to believe it, but if your ears start hearing affirmations of who you are, regardless as to whether you believe it or not. See, here again, we're talking about what the faith of God does. And here's why I think that we have the power to impact the planet. Because we know that nobody has to believe this for it to have power. All we have to do is let people know that God believes in them. And the power of it begins to take effect at that moment. I really do believe that. That's the reason I'm so excited about these meetings that we have coming up. Is
it changes your whole perspective.
Oh, it really does. I mean, here we are again, you know, with this entire change, especially concerning this subject of faith, that, you know, we're not expecting, we're not out trying to get people to believe in God. We're out to tell people that God believes in you.
Right.
And, you know, that's what Isaiah said after the prophecies of the Savior. He said, he told the prophet, get up into the high mountain and shout out to the people, behold your God. And look, here's your God. You know, it didn't say get up and tell them to believe in their God or to require anything from them or faith or belief or anything. He said, just get up and reveal their God to them.
And that's the voice of God that was heard when John baptized Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away
the sin of the world. Not the sins, the sin, the condition of sin that separated us from God. All right, we got about 15 minutes left on Glenn Klein Online. Michael Williams in Houston for another night before he heads north. Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your calls. We want to hear from some more folks. Give us a call, 1-800-436-3260. We cannot be any more encouraging to you than that. We want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. 1-800-436-3260. Michael, this next email comes from Dina in Indianapolis, and she says, Mike, thanks so much for not being selfish. It would have been so easy for you to keep this message to yourself. I'm glad you didn't. I would be dead on drugs or in a mental institution if it had not been for the gospel revolution. I'm currently giving $10 a month. I will I will up that to $20 a month soon. It's not much, however, it's the best I can do right now. I also plan on pledging another $50. By the way, if you ever need somewhere to stay, please give me a call.
That's awesome.
And she forwards you her phone number, which I'm going to forward you right now. And thanks, Dina, so much for letting us hear from you. And we appreciate that. That means a lot, your $10 a month. That's the sustenance financially for this effort. Are the monthly and one-time givers during the pledge drives, and for the folks that have committed to monthly giving, thank you so much for keeping up with your monthly gifts. This all costs money. Mike talked earlier about Chris Ann's donation. The equipment that is within 6 inches of where Sean's sitting, the microphone that I'm talking to, the phone system that we have, our ability to take emails and phone calls from you. We're literally webcasting to the entire world right now that everybody within the sound of our voice, which is everybody, is righteous and holy in God. Everybody. That cost us money to do that. We can't do it without you. So thank you so much, and we really appreciate it.
Never underestimate what comes from the heart, even $10.
This email comes from Greg Ambergy, our buddy in Cincinnati. He says, Mike and Glenn, with my wife and daughter in college, it has been tough to come up with extra money, but last week I talked to my wife about pledging a monthly gift in our budget. It made no sense. So I put some stuff up on sale on eBay and was able to make a gift of $100 without affecting our family finances. Hope this helps. Thanks for all you do. And Greg, it does help, and that was a great idea that you had. That's a great idea, folks. Sell something. You don't think you have anything to give? Sell something. That's a beautiful thing. Let's talk a little bit about Canada, Michael, because we still love to hear from somebody in Canada tonight. 1-800-436-3260. The toll-free number does work in Canada. But Canada, in so many ways, was the foundation of this whole thing. And there was something about Canada, there is something about Canada and the people up there that were so receptive to this message when it seemed like a barren, dry wasteland down here south of the border. But you found a receptive audience and still do in Canadians.
Oh, my. Not only receptive, but very giving and very supportive also. And the folks in Canada literally carried us through several years that of just in the impossible, it seemed to be the impossible task of breaking any ground hardly here in the U.S. I mean, I went for several years that all I got was blasted from one place to the other and one church, one group to the other, and the supporters that we'd had for over the years. One right after the other, and but I could escape to Canada and go there and find not only, as I said, willing listeners, but people who were truly, their lives were being transformed. My goodness, I could not even tell you of all of the stories. We've heard some wonderful stories tonight, but I tell you, the Canadian folks too have just thrived on the gospel, and they've made their gratefulness known in many ways, including financial, and we're just so very grateful for all the friends that we have there, and I'm looking forward to spending time with them. So, and they've got to, we're going to line them up and get them. Yeah. I tell you what, folks better get those rooms before I get to Canada, because the Canadian folks themselves may fill up all of those rooms.
As we said, we'll be sending you guys the email about it. We just have to do one more little step of confirmation, but we're all but 100% confirmed at the Marriott Houston, north at Greenpoint. But we'll get you all the information, both on the webcast and your email. This comes from Dwayne Daku from Canada, from Saskatchewan. And he says, Mike, I just appreciated so much your interview with James Gustafson a couple of months ago. James' brother Don and I were best friends while my father was pastor of the church they attended as children. It was so good to hear that we had this exciting message in common. Immediately after the broadcast, I telephoned him, and we had a real time of encouragement for over an hour. What a blessing. Thanks to what both you and Glenn do. And that's from Dwayne Daku in Saskatoon.
Isn't that awesome?
That's those are
These people. Guys had not seen each other for, I think they were telling me, like 20 years or something there had been any contact. And he heard the name on the webcast and thought, you can't... I mean, this is amazing that James might even know these people, much less hearing him on the broadcast. And of course, James had been part of this great revolution for several years now. So that was a wonderful reconnection we got to be able to be help facilitate there.
This next question, we're getting through some questions, which is nice, comes from Jim Black from Grand Rapids, Michigan. He says, Dear Mike and Glenn, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your broadcast. I've been listening to you for about 9 months and truly enjoy what you have to share. My question is, the scripture that talks about the reconciliation of all things, does this reconciliation also include the devil and all the fallen angels? And again, he says, thanks so much for your ministry. That's Jim Black in Grand Rapids. Is the devil saved, Michael?
Well, not by the blood of Jesus. that is for sure. Whenever what the scriptures address for us is God's relationship with man, the scriptures do not address God's relationship with fallen angels. So it is just virtually a silent subject. In fact, the only thing that we have to make reference to it where that it is not a completely silent subject is Hebrews chapter 1 that tells us explicitly, and I think on into chapter 2, that man was created a little lower than the angels, and then that through what man experienced from, of course, that... heavenly realm above him, the angelic realm, that God then made Jesus to become a little lower than the angels also and took upon himself the form of a man so that he could redeem a man. So there is the subject of the kinsman redeemer, which is a scriptural understanding of kinsman redeemer, and in that's why Jesus had to become one of us. He had to become one of us to redeem us, and it seems to at least through the work of the cross completely leave out the angelic realm or the fallen angels, of which one of which was Lucifer. And now, do I totally rule out that God, through some means, might restore Lucifer and his angels by some other means? I do not rule that out.
That's one thing. I love what our buddy George Howell says at boldgrace.com. He makes a great case for the gospel, and he says, but I might be wrong. We don't rule out anything, folks. If anybody would have told me when I was growing up as a Jewish kid in Chicago that one day I would be in the charismatic Word of Faith Messianic Jewish Church, and then that I would, when I was so embroiled in embracing all of the religious crapola, that I would be getting out of it I would have said there's no way. I never say never anymore. I try never to say never. Michael, this email comes from John down in your part of the neck of the woods in Texas. He says, Glenn and Mike, I've embraced ultimate reconciliation for the last 4 years, although I kept it a secret because of what others would think. Our former church has members who were anonymous and paid most of our house payment because I lost my job due to post-surgical stroke 10 years ago. One of the church members Googled searched my name and found I am a supporter of Christian Universalism. They let the pastor know, and the staff let me know quickly that I needed to repent. I then left the church because the teaching upset many people, especially those that had supported my family financially. They then ceased financial support, and I'm scrambling to find work when I have been permanently disabled for 10 years. I can't find gainful employment. When I told my wife about my belief, she got furious that I lost our church friends and their support. It put a rift in our relationship, and my wife won't even listen to what I have to say. My belief that God saves all has put me in a tremendous situation of suffering, and I don't know what to do. Will God really help me, or is my lot to suffer because of my belief? What do I do? That's from John in Texas.
Yeah, well, that is the thing, is that we've seen a lot of people who have embraced the gospel, and it's not just in this century, but in many centuries past, that have suffered because of that, and have suffered being ostracized and not just harmed financially, but people have actually died because of making a stand for the gospel. And people have died for a lot of reasons, but the gospel certainly is one of those that people can suffer because of their views and opinions. I don't think it's really any different than finding any other event in life where that if you are getting support from someone. I think that the thing of it is that the odd thing about it is that you get a real revelation of what evangelical Christianity really is. Preaching of the unconditional love of God, and then there's so many conditions on it. Whether or not there is help that is on your side, I know that from within you, John, dwells all that is, that God has and is. So to say that you're left alone and without help would certainly not be the truth. I think that it was just today that I was talking to another one of my friends here about the issue of limitations on life. There is something when there is a sense of identity, and that is what we're sharing. It's really strange because the crux of this gospel is not how many people's going to heaven or not. It really is just simply the view and the opinion of God of us, and that happens to be the whole world. But that's what our message is. And through that identity, I mean, we find the strength to bear up, get through, and recover in so many situations. So the thing that I want to share with you, John, is that yes, I would be firmly expecting that from within there will come answers for you. Now, what those answers are, I don't know, and I would not even begin to try to tell you as to what is available, but I can tell you there's more available to you that lives in you than what any of us are accessing, that's for sure.
And I'll say this, John, that what has happened to you stinks, and you're experiencing the universal, you talk about universal, you're experiencing the universal emotion and experience of all human beings, which is suffering. And if you just can take it I know this is a cliche, but one day at a time. And it may take some time. It took us a long time, didn't it, Michael? If you go back, John, and listen to the webcast archives and listen to especially Michael's stories of the suffering that he has endured because of not just specifically of understanding the gospel and our proclamation of it, but just life's suffering, financially, emotionally, relationally, physically. You'll gain hope in that, because if one person can make it, another person can make it. And we've had people on the webcast that have had all kinds of trauma and contemplating seriously suicide, and somehow they've gotten through it, and you can too. And I sent John an email, Michael, and John, if you need somebody to talk to, my phone number is always available to you at 813-363-9545. That's my cell number. And anybody can call that anytime, 813-363-9545.
Yes, and my number is also on the website. My office number is 281-894-0101.
Well, hopefully that helped, John, and hopefully this evening helped for you folks that have been logged on and they're logging on around the world. Want to really encourage everybody in Canada or in parts in the north, if you can get over to a meeting in the next 10 days, 2 weeks, just check out the website for all the information. It's right on the homepage, all the contact numbers, the locations at gospelrevolution.com, gospelrevolution.com. And that's where you can also order all the new teachings and keep up with your monthly giving. It's all going in the right direction now, folks. And, boy, we can relate to John's story, I'll tell you that. And one thing you know, John, and anybody else that's suffering tonight, you're in good company. You're in real good company. But just hang in there, and if you need somebody to talk to, you've got our phone numbers, you've got our email address, which is webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Well, Michael, I tell you to have a great time with Ken Vandeveer and all the folks up in Canada, but I know that's going to happen.
So, yes, it is, and I'll be broadcasting from Kelowna, British Columbia, next Wednesday.
Are you traveling on American Airlines?
No, I'm not sure which airlines. I don't look at that stuff until I get ready to go to the airport.
Yeah, it's always a good thing. You could end up like my wife Dawn did our last trip to Wisconsin. She said goodbye to all of our friends, and she came home and started packing. And then I heard, "Oh my God!" And I said, "What, honey?" It was on a Tuesday night, and she said, "I was supposed to leave yesterday." And she was all freaked out. And as you can imagine, and we're up in northern Wisconsin. She's got to get home. And I said, "Listen, you know," I started getting on the phone and talking to the travel agent or the ticket agents and whatnot. And I said, "Honey," I said, "you know we're going to be laughing about this eventually. So we might as well start laughing now." So when we went back and saw our friends the next day, and they thought that Dawn was already back in Florida, and she couldn't get home till like Thursday or Friday. So she actually got an extra 4 days of vacation. And
awesome.
And so, Michael, in case you're still in Texas next week because you're airline, we'll trust that Ken will do a good job in Canada.
Yes, he would. but I will be there.
No, I know you'll be there. Have a wonderful time. And
thank you, Glenn.
Give our love to everybody up there north of the border. And I want to thank Chris Ann from Waterloo for calling tonight, Bob from Portland, Oregon, for all of our emails, and for Sean O'Halloran, our engineer and producer and call screener extraordinaire. This is Glenn Klein online. Till next time, shalom, everybody.